You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In the wake of 22 women accusing Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct and two of those women going public this week, Nike has suspended its multi-year endorsement deal with the quarterback, and Beats by Dre is ending its sponsorship outright. While the NFL is said to be investigating the allegations, no other major action has been taken yet by the league. And here to join the debate, we've got Damian Woody. And Kimberly, I want to start with you here. Do you think that Watson needs to be put on the NFL commissioner's exempt list immediately?
Charlie, no, I don't. And here's why. Because the commissioner's exempt list wasn't designed for the offseason. It was designed for when guys are in season, for, you know, preventing guys from practicing or playing in games while a situation needs to be resolved. I think there's, you know, we can debate how this looks for Watson, all of these women, whether, you know, do we anticipate him starting in week one or being on a team? That is a separate conversation than the exempt list. I think with him, you know, I feel like people get on the league for how it handles situations, especially situations involving domestic violence or any issues with the treatment of women. And the league has sort of been criticized for how it doles out punishment. Sometimes it seems arbitrary. Sometimes it seems excessive. You know, when you talk about Deflategate. But at the end of the day, we can't just ask the league to act for the sake of acting. You know, the league has been well criticized for just giving perfunctory statements. Yes, we are deeply disturbed by this. Yes, it's a statement, but those words really said nothing because, yeah, we should all be disturbed by these allegations. But after reading that statement, did anybody feel better or feel like, okay, those were the words we needed at this time? No, because at this point, the league can't do it. It doesn't know anything. It's still investigating. And you can't, at this point, there are no practices. There are no games. So you put him on the list for what? He's not at a facility right now. So I think that the league adding him to the commissioner's exempt list would just be another step that makes the league look like, oh, it's just doing something to do something. And that's not what's needed right now. As the situation plays out, if this escalates, if more women come forward, if criminal charges are brought against him, then the league can actually do something. But this gray, murky area where no one really knows anything, that's a difficult spot for the league to be in.
Listen, I agree with Kimberly here. I think it would be a totally different situation, and Kimberly touched upon it, if we were in training camp, where now, you know, the NFL is really preparing for the season, or even at the beginning of the regular season. Then I think that's what the commissioner's exempt list is for, to kind of put this guy, you know, in a position where he's, you know, where the NFL can continue to evaluate the situation and kind of make this guy disappear from being a distraction, not only to the organization, but for the rest of the league at that time. We're in the off season where, I mean, we haven't even hit the NFL draft yet. So I think there's plenty of time for the league to continue its investigation into these allegations against Deshaun Watson. Obviously the team is doing it. But I just don't think that, like Kimberly said, just to stash a guy on the exempt list just to do it, I don't think that's the purpose of the list right now. And there's plenty of time before we hit actual games, before I think the NFL has to consider making that type of move.
Well, you know, I think the purpose of the list is really interesting, hearing both you, Woody, and Kimberly's perspective on it. But based on the past few days, I just think overall, as a woman watching what has happened and following it, I know, Kimberly, you're a reporter, and when it started, it was tough to digest. And then now, totaling up to 22 civil lawsuits, it's hard for us to fathom these things. And then now, you know, yesterday, the day before, we've seen some of the victims, and to put a face, to put feelings and emotions emotions to those names that we have been reporting. It's an emotional process for all of us as fans of the sport. This is really tough to process. And again, you know, we'd be remiss to not say, as women here in the sports world, we stand by women that bravely tell their stories, knowing that that is truly the most difficult thing to do. But we also know that there is due process of law and that Deshaun Watson will probably have his opportunity, because it's been kind of radio silence since, you know, his lawyers and his representatives have said, hey, you know, like, this is not what it seems to be. Well, that's why the law steps in to handle that process. The legal process plays out. And it's really interesting to see also yesterday that Nike has, quote, suspended his contract, while Beats has terminated his endorsement contract. And in unprecedented situations like this, I think that's where the public pressure to do something, even if it is putting him on the commissioner's exempt list, while it is, you know, not necessarily its purpose, I think as time goes on, because this is a lengthy process that's being reported on, and just knowing the legal process, it's going to be hard to sort of quell that public angst. And I think it is uniquely positioned in moments like this, maybe to reevaluate and look, because obviously that exempt list, and this is where I go back to you, Kimberly, means he would potentially maintain a salary. He just would not be an active player currently. And so based on the gravity of the women's claims, by removing him temporarily from the Texans, it seems like a lot of people are bringing up the commissioner's exempt list to sort of be that vehicle to address the gravity, but also know that it gives due process a chance to play out as well.
The interesting thing about this is, you know, the sponsorship deals. What's different about the sponsorship deals? You know, Nike took a stand and Beats. And it feels like, I think the public might feel like, well, the NFL is eerily quiet. They're not doing anything. But Deshaun Watson being affiliated with those brands can hurt them financially. Right now, we have no practices. We have no games. As Woody said, we're not even at the draft yet. So Deshaun Watson is hidden from you. He's not, when it comes time for criminal charges, if it comes to that, because guys, like, nothing's been proven or unproven to this point. So let's be very clear about that. But when it comes to an issue of financial dollars and your affiliation to a particular athlete, that it makes sense that sponsors would pull out, because you can sell headphones at any time, right? Well, the season's not happening. There's no training camp right now. Like, the league literally is in a position of, we have to wait and see. Because if the league were to suddenly defend him or say, you know what, the way this is going, he probably did it, let's move him to the exempt list or suspend him. Like, we haven't even gotten far in this process, even though it feels like every single day there's another lawsuit or finally we have a woman speaking publicly and detailing the emotional toll it took on her. But right now, you know, women tell the truth and should be believed, and there's women who lie and there's men who should believe and get falsely accused. You know, this is a very, like, murky situation. Mm-hmm. And you have to be really, really careful when you want people to start acting when we don't have enough information.
Yeah. And Kimberly, you had mentioned that the NFL was being eerily quiet. NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy did speak up this week in regards to these allegations, and he called them, quote, deeply disturbing. But really, that's all that's been said by the NFL thus far. Woody, I want to know, though, if this situation continues down the path it's on right now, which is very unfortunate, do you believe that Watson will be placed on the exempt list before week one?
Yeah, listen, if this situation isn't resolved and this the investigations continue on, you know, right up until the season, I do believe that the commissioner will put Deshaun Watson on the exempt list, simply because you don't want that type of distraction when your season is basically starting. So I think that if this situation continues to linger, that Deshaun Watson will find himself on that exempt list.
Okay, so one more thing to add, along with the Nike deal, along with the Beats by Dre deal, also Reliant Energy, which owns the naming rights to the Texans Stadium in Houston, they are also saying that Watson will no longer be a brand ambassador for them. They do add, though, that their partnership that it currently stands was scheduled to end prior to these allegations coming out. But they said they do not plan on working with the quarterback moving forward. So a lot of things happening in regards to Deshaun Watson and his partnerships right now.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Super Bowl champion Tom Brady joined Good Morning America yesterday to talk about his most recent ring, his family, and his future in the NFL. Take a listen.
I don't think proving it for me is the motivation. Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral, you know what I mean? Also about football, once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me, not a lot, and I know that, but what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
All right, Damian Woody's still here with us, and Tom Brady, he wants to keep it going, and guess what? He's got all of his weapons this upcoming season to have a very successful run yet again. So, Kimberly, what could stand in the way of Tom Brady getting that number 8 ring?
Guys, only two things are going to stop Tom Brady from getting another Super Bowl, and that is history and father time. Man's about to be 44 years old, so he's getting up there. But if anybody's making 40 look good, it's him, right? But also history, because how many times have we seen back-to-back, you know, defending Super Bowl champions win again? Only 7 times, but the last team to do it is Tom Brady and those 2003-2004 Patriots. So I feel like if I'm Brady, at this point, he is so sickening with how happy he is. I mean, this guy is loving life, is loving Florida, is loving being paired, getting all 22 of their starters back and their specialists back. There's really not, they should be the favorites. They really should. And honestly, this dude, I'm not going to make the mistake of betting against Tom. He's not going to make me look stupid again. We've had conversations about, is Tom Brady done?
By the way, I won the Super Bowl prediction on the podcast. First Take, Her Take, everybody, just to put it out there.
Oh, here we go. All right.
You remember
right.
that?
Yeah,
remember
yeah,
when
yeah.
you
Charm.
Two?
Yes.
Back,
yes, we remember because you won't let us forget. We remember,
Never.
Girl. No, it's true. No, you were right. And they are, to me, they're the favorite because of this team. It's loaded. And honestly, Brady, why can't he win 8?
Well, listen.
Woody, talk your ish, Mr. Patriot, Mr. Super Bowl champ.
Don't worry about that. I'm gonna talk it all right. I'm gonna talk it because I was with the Patriots when they won in 2001 and in 2003. Let me tell you something. Tom Brady, there's one thing that could get in the way, and that's obviously injuries because football is a contact sport. But if you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, guys, they got a lot of really good things going for them. They were returning all 22 starters on both offense and defense. That is, when you're talking about a team coming off of the Super Bowl, that is extremely rare that you got everyone coming back for the following year, so they have that going for them. But I will say this, the road to repeating is extremely hard because, like Coach Belichick used to tell us, every team, every year is different. You can't count on the things that happened last year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to replicate themselves this year. And what I will tell you is that in 2002, when I was with the New England Patriots, we missed the playoffs. Why? Because, number one, things didn't break our way like they usually do in a Super Bowl run. But also, the way your opponents play you after a Super Bowl is much different because they view you as a Super Bowl champ. The way you look at them on film and the way they come out and play you is totally different. These teams this year are going to play the Tampa Bay Bucs totally different. It's going to be extremely difficult, but if there's anyone that can do it, it's definitely Tom Brady.
You know what's wild? I should have known better, okay? I played fantasy football for the first time this year. I had the Tampa Bay defense, which really helped propel them to the Super Bowl. I should have known better in my pick, because then I'd be Charlie instead of myself and Kimberly trying to rub it in.
Not everybody can be Charlie, Janae. You know this.
You're right.
One and
You're
only.
Right. This is true. But my favorite bite-sized human being. We love you. But it's crazy. And Woody, you talked about it because I think the pathway just seems so there, so readily available for Tom. I mean, you mentioned returning all 22 starters on offense and defense that I loved that appeared in the Super Bowl. And that's a first, by the way, in the NFL salary cap era. That tells you that Tom Brady really has that juice, that magic. And you even look at the NFC, the way things are shaping up. It's crazy that the Packers, it's crazy that the Seahawks, who have not shown their QBs enough love, sort of creating that angst that you don't want if you want to be able to take down Tom Brady and the Bucks. Like, you've got the, you know, Matt Stafford getting onboarded with the Rams. It's crazy that the NFC is sort of built for them to use their cohesion that they mastered in year one and run it back. But like you said, I mean, time, it just seems like when we talk about time and athletes, we're at the perfect intersection where science and advances, we have the TB12, you know, the TB way, which is nuts for Tom Brady to sort of patent his own pathway that has helped him the same way LeBron James does it. It works to their advantage. So like you said, Woody, I think history, people do play you differently. I mean, I would love to say that I've won a championship. That's a goal for this coming year. But once you find success in the professional ranks, people sort of key in on that. People really key in on that, especially we know this through rookie seasons. Rookie seasons are great, and then the next year you adjust to the league. It happens for the champions as well.
Yeah, you know, Damon, you mentioned everybody plays different. But the great thing about the Bucks is this was like a slow build. You know, no off season together, no real time, that chemistry. It took some weeks for them to figure out this offense. Last year, if you remember, we were on TV like, what's going on with the Bucks? Like, what is Bruce Arians doing with Tom Brady? Just sit Tom Brady right there and say, do whatever you want. And what happened? In the second half of the season, they took off, and then Todd Bowles' defense took over in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl. But guys, if you're the Bucks right now, and you're looking at the NFC South, the Panthers, they just got Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater. What's going on with the Saints? Breeze isn't there. You know, the Falcons, they got Matty Ice, true, but out of that division, to me, the Bucks are the favorite. You know, Chiney touched on the Rams situation. You know, touched on Seattle. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of unhappy QBs. So I'd feel pretty good if I was Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and listen, as they should, Kimberly, because the one, you know, when you're talking about the teams that usually have success, one factor is continuity. And that's what the Bucks are going to have from top to bottom. They're going to have as much continuity as any other team in the National Football League. Again, they're going to have 22 starters back on that football team. So not only that, but the fact that now they head into an offseason where we're going to have OTAs, we're going to have mini camp, training camp. They didn't have that last year, and they were able to build their way to ultimately winning a Super Bowl. Now they get that. They get an actual offseason to really really build on the chemistry that they had last year. So this should be a great sign, a great thing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, Tom Brady, the man is thriving professionally, personally. I mean, anytime you see this guy, he's got a smile on his face, and there's really no reason not to. everything in Tom Brady's life seems to be going pretty good. All right, let's talk about the Cowboys because Dak Prescott's getting some people excited. Well, not Stephen A. Smith, but there's some others he's getting people excited for. Here's some video that was released of him doing some passing drills earlier this week. Meanwhile, Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones is, quote, infatuated with Florida Gators tight end Kyle Pitts. That, according to our Chris Mortensen, the Cowboys currently have the number 10 pick in the 2021 draft, but Mortensen believes Jones could trade up to select Pitts. Damian, should the Cowboys draft Pitts or do they need to be more focused on the defense?
Well, listen, I get it. We're talking about Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, and the star and all that. First of all, there's no way in hell that Kyle Pitts is going to make it all the way to 10. I think he's the best prospect in this draft. And the notion that Jerry Jones could possibly trade up to draft Kyle Pitts, that makes no sense. Because if you're trying to build a roster in a way where you're trying to win a championship, anyone who saw the Dallas Cowboys defense last year, they were nauseated watching that defense because they were absolutely pathetic on defense. One of the worst defenses that we've seen in history was the Dallas Cowboys last year. So if the Dallas Cowboys are sitting at 10 and Kyle Pitts, I don't know how, if he falls to them, I still think the Dallas Cowboys should go defense because if you want to, they have enough weapons on the offense. You got Dak coming back. You have Zeke. The offensive line is coming back. You got the three wide receivers. If they were to draft anybody on offense, I would say draft an offensive lineman because that's where their weakness is on offense. Those guys are getting longer in the tooth. They could use some infusion of young offensive talent up front, but they have to go defense to show up that side of the football.
I don't even know why we're talking about this. I really don't. I don't know why we're talking about this. Because he is not. Kyle Pitts, there is no way that Kyle Pitts is going to last till 10 unless he has a Laremy Tunsil type draft day experience where you're like, whoa, right. These pitchers hitting? What's going on? But outside of that, but because it's Damian Woody and because this is my boy, I'm going to play devil's advocate because this is a fantastical topic that won't happen. But it's Jerry Jones. It's Jerry Jones. Does Jerry Jones really care about what makes like logical sense? No. Jerry Jones is about filling those seats, bringing that sizzle to Dallas, right? Okay, so you talk about Dallas has enough offense. Sure, they have enough. But if Kyle Pitts is like behind the quarterback, like the best prospect out there, can you really fault Jerry Jones for being enamored with him? Because guess what, guys? Everybody's enamored with Kyle Pitts. And when you look at, when you talk about teams like the Chiefs and that explosive offense, you don't say like, they got enough. They don't need, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, they don't need him. But guess what? They got him. So I will stand on the table and say, I don't think this will happen, but just for the sake of argument's sake, we would. Is it so wrong for Jerry to covet such a great offensive piece? Come on now, just embrace it a little bit.
Okay, Kimberly.
Go ahead, Sinead.
You know, I'm from Texas. And a lot of times we think things that glitter, everything is bigger and better, but at some point the expectation has to be real. We have the team out there that is ready to win a Super Bowl. And look, I watched that man Kyle Pitts, his pro day. That man is built different. I don't see him dropping to 10. But for the Cowboys overall, I think that, you know, obviously there's recent history with CeeDee Lamb where the Cowboys take the best player available. But, man, what have we been hearing? And Woody said it. You know, Mike McCarthy has said it. The largest change that this team needs to make is defensively. The Cowboys, they allowed the most points in franchise history in 2020. They had the second worst run defense in the NFL. And so, you know, I think defense is where they need to start. If they're going to go offense, I'm not surprised that my boy Woody was talking about the offensive line. Very important, but very on-brand, Woody.
You know.
Very on-brand.
Of course I'm going to go with the big dogs up front. That's where you win games at. But listen, I think Kyle Pitts is the best prospect in this draft, and it's almost impossible for him to tumble all the way down to 10. And for Jerry Jones to even think about trading up to go get a tight end, I think that would just be foolish, considering you just signed Dak to a $40 million a year contract and all the weapons that they have on the offensive side. They have to go defense. They have to start balancing out this roster and adding more depth. You can't afford, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, to start giving up assets because you got your eyes on one particular person. You need depth,
Damian,
on this team.
Damian, the defense can't be any worse. It's going to be better. So it's okay. It'll be better.
All right, well, we know what the Cowboys should focus on, but Damian, there's a lot of people who agree with you as far as Kyle Pitts go. We talked about it yesterday on the show. Mel Kiper Jr. said that Kyle Pitts, he thinks, is the overall second best player in the draft entirely. So he's got a lot of eyes on him, so we'll see where he lands.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ooh, Draymond Green making some headlines last week for comments he made in regard to the lack of support for women's sports. Take a listen.
I'm really tired of seeing them complain about the lack of pay because they're doing themselves a disservice by just complaining. They're not laying out steps that they can take to change that. And so it's coming off as a complaint because the people that can change it, they're just going to continue to say, well, the revenue isn't there. The revenue isn't there. So if you don't bring in the revenue, we can't up your pay. They're going to keep using that. But the reality is, as true as that is, it's an excuse. Because everyone says, we support women. We support women empowerment. We support women in the workplace. We do this for women. We do X for women, blah, blah, blah. And everyone uses it to their advantage. Yet these women are not using these people that are saying those very things to their advantage.
USWNT star Megan Rapinoe, obviously taking exception to these remarks and in a recent press conference, said the following, quote, it's really unfortunate that in the position he's in, having all the resources that he has and the ability to have a much more educated opinion, that he just hasn't. Really frustrating. Obviously, he just kind of showed his whole ass and not understanding what we talk about the whole time. You don't think that we've asked for more investment? I mean, what are we screaming about nonstop? Okay, so we have a lot to unpack here, and here to help us do so, we have ACC Network host Monica McNutt making her First Take debut. Lady, congratulations. Welcome to the show. It's ladies' hour. So happy to have you. And obviously a lot to unpack here with these comments. So, Chinee, I want to start with you here. What's your reaction to Draymond's comments?
The only worst thing about being wrong is being loud. And wrong.
I so think
Brandon
loud.
Marshall is sort of
so,
learning
so
that
loud.
Right now. The meme.
Hey,
right?
Brandon.
Accurate.
But I've known. Hey, Brandon. It's all good, Brandon. You gave us a great meme, Brandon. Thank you. Now, I've known Draymond Green for a while. We both played on the World University Games team together for Team USA back when we were in college, which makes this all the more difficult because Day-Day, I mean, he's been on the show with us. He has the right relationships. He has the right people to look to really get answers. So let's set this straight. WNBA players would absolutely love more money, of course, but we understand the economic realities of our league. But, you know, complaints from WNBA players, that's not happening anymore. Do you know why? Well, I've got the answer. I am vice president of the WNBPA, an amazing players association. And in 2020, we ratified a new CBA that addressed our players' concerns. Obviously, salary. For the first time, we have average salaries in six figures, which is amazing. That CBA was not just a win for women's hoopers. It was a win for women in the workplace, period. widely celebrated. More increase in salaries, full paid maternity leave, mental health resources, you name it, we got it. And there's a reason why they're saying that, there's a saying that women have to work twice as hard to get half as far. Mm-hmm. And if you think that women are not doing the work right now to get our stories told, then you are wildly misinformed. Anyone that supports our game is a real one because they do so with the expectation that they will not get the credit. The women have been, you know, putting in the work and trying to tell their stories, but until we have equity in the rooms that matter most, equity there where representation is there so that our stories actually have enough proximity where people can relate to, then it's going to be hard. And we've been fighting this uphill battle for so long, which is why, you know, I think he really cares and he comes from a place of passion. But the hardest thing is realizing that the platform that you say, it's like, use your platform to empower us, not to say, I'm not going to speak on Women's History Month. No, use your platform to amplify those who have solutions instead of just preaching what the problems continue to be. And by the way, those problems are outdated because if anyone watched the women's tournament, we are moving in a whole different direction.
Yes, absolutely.
I love everything you just said, Chinee. And the funny thing is, the last time the three of us had our first take over, Draymond was on. So when I was watching him, I was like, he really could have called Chinee. He really could have called if he had questions. That's what bothered me the most, because he has access to the answers. He literally has the Rolodex to like, hey Chinee, hey Megan, hey Sue, what's going on? But I actually did, as much as I laughed as he was talking and I shook my head, I did like what he was, one thing that he said, which was people like to say that they support women's sports and women athletes and stuff like that. He's right about that. It people love to say it, but do you watch regular season games? Do you watch college? Do you buy the same, do you buy jerseys? Do you invest it? Executives, do you put the games on? You know, it's not just the equal pay and all that. Like, that aside, there's a bigger issue about the commitment, the support. It's not just financial. You know, where do you spend your energy? If these games aren't being televised, if you aren't showcasing the draft, if you're not talking about issues that affect women athletes at the same rate, you know, like, that's part of it too. It's this like mushrooming thing. And I'm glad that he spoke, because we're talking about the how he's not connecting all the dots. We're speaking about it, and it continues the conversation, because there are a lot of people sitting on their couch right now like, Draymond had a point. I see exactly what he's saying. Like, you know, if the revenue's not there, the revenue's not there. What you want? You know, but they're not actually acknowledging that, you know, like Sue Bird and Chloe Kim and Simone Manuel, like Alex Morgan, like they started their own website to, you know, like, women are out there trying to create their own content and do things for themselves. And if Draymond doesn't get it, and he's a guy who's got connections, like he has resources to the answers, he knows people. How do you expect guys in corner offices who make decisions about programming to actually invest? You know, like, that's what bothers me. It's a whole bigger thing than just Draymond. But I'm glad he spoke his truth and how he sees it. So Megan and we can all say, have a seat and let's just talk about it a little bit more.
Take a seat.
Okay, so you guys covered just about everything, right? And so what I will say is, I just want to shout out a couple of women, similar to what you did, Kimberly, that I know are actually doing the work. There were two comments when this initially came down that really stood out to me from women. And actually, I do want to shout out Kareth Burke, who was probably the first person to hear that audio as the sideline reporter for the Golden State Warriors. And she immediately pushed back, right? But then one of the comments that I saw on Twitter was from Devro Peters, who played college basketball at Notre Dame. Chinee, I know you remember Dev. She was in the WNBA. She has since moved on. Yeah, but one of the things that she's doing right now is telling women's stories. She's creating a platform to highlight stories of WNBA athletes. And she shared a very personal thread about being this close in a meeting with someone who had a position to help elevate her platform. And ultimately, it came down to this person not wanting to be involved with the WNBA. I don't know the specifics, but the idea that Draymond not only would get on Twitter, double down in this press conference, and then on Twitter at some of the league's elite stars without acknowledging the work that's being done, I mean, mm-hmm. you just have to be better, especially when you reach out and tag people like, I have the solution that no one has ever talked about. So personally, Dre, you should connect with Deb and see if you can amplify her platform. Second, Chinee, your sister, I thought had a tremendous response to this in a press conference following Team USA practice. And she pointed out that so many of us are taught that the word ignorance has a negative connotation. And while that is partly true, sometimes ignorance is just that. You do not know. Now, when you don't know, the volume has to come down just a little bit. But I will say that I don't believe that Dre had, just a tad, y'all. I will say that I don't believe that Draymond Green had ill intentions, but right. he is ignorant on this topic. And so now, we're still talking about it. You're a name that carries cachet. Please go get informed and then come back with that same energy at a press conference. That's all I want.
That's not it. Like, you also, you know me, I'm applying pressure because our CBA was ratified on the idea of bet on women and invest in women. Yep. And a lot of people say, well, the revenue is not there. Well, guess what? The demand is. We saw what happened with the women's tournament. We know that the standards of what we see, and I know this is usually compared through the lens of basketball, these are the best women's basketball players in the world in the WNBA, the best in college. We had that whole weight room controversy, and a lot of people realize that, hey, like, that floor can be moved up, and it can take little things like you said, you know, amplifying the right stories in the press conferences, or if you actually have the means, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And that's why every room we step into, we try to really further the conversation and get actionable items so that we can continue to move the needle forward. And thank you for shouting out Kareth Burke, who does a tremendous job. Mm-hmm. Thank you for shouting out my big sis, Monica, because she's president of the WNBPA. And let me tell you this, after I saw that Zoom coming off of Chinee and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio, I hit big sis. I was like, sis, you kept it classy, sis, because we know what is real. The real thing is the genuine energy for the game is there from Draymond, and we appreciate that. And he's always rolled for women hooping. But at this point, if you are not bringing a solution, then it's hard to sort mm-hmm. of say that you should use our platform to tell mm-hmm. us what we're doing wrong, because there have been women in the trenches fighting this fight forever.
Yes.
I mean, our league is mm-hmm. about to really celebrate 25 straight years, the longest viable women's sports league. And we're excited about it. There's energy for the W coming this season. And one thing that I have personally found is that it takes us. Like, no one will care for this more mm-hmm. than us. And so it's our collective action. I mean, literally putting two and two together, which is why if we're asking for storytelling, y'all stay tuned, because we've got a big story to be told on our network, ESPN Films, that's celebrating the WNBA's 25th season, obviously, but it was the 2020 season that we're covering, and it's all led by women. And that's a beautiful thing. The producers are women. The story will tell the story of the bubble. And it's been amazing to see what the repercussions of the women's activism has been. And we know this because we care about it. And this is what we live. And so if you are truly trying to be an ally, I think it's leaning into that instead of trying to say mm-hmm. these are the problems, because the problems are played out at this point. The problems are no longer problems because women are finding solutions to those. And now it's on the rest of society to keep that same energy and keep moving us in that direction.
Well, we love to see women thriving, so thank you to all of you for helping to set the record straight, and also others like you've mentioned, and hopefully it'll help encourage men like Draymond to really understand and not just hear you, but also listen to you so they can get their facts straight.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All right. right, KD returned last night after 23 games out of action. He looked legitimately perfect. We're also looking at LeBron. He's injured for the time being, but his timetable to return inching closer. Both of their teams on a quest to win a title this year. So, Chinee, well, actually, hold on. Monica McNutt, ladies and gentlemen, making her debut on First Take here today. She's also with us for this debate. But, Chinee, I do want to start with you here. Who do you think is going to have the bigger impact on their team? Is it going to be LeBron or KD when it comes to winning a title?
Look, this is, like, making me want to hop out of my chair because this is so difficult to really discuss because we all know what KD is. Imagine being so great that you can miss a whole bunch of games, step out onto the floor, do your thing, not miss a shot. And what do we see from Kevin Durant? He did everything. Like, he pushed the rock in transition. He had the mid-range. He knocked down the three. He was playing defense. He was rebounding. Cheat code, unfair. But this Brooklyn Nets team is built so different with James Harden, with Kyrie Irving, with LaMarcus Aldridge, with Blake Griffin, that I think LeBron James will actually be the one that will have the biggest impact because he's going to be wearing, you know, most of and shouldering most of the responsibility for the Lakers to sort of repeat, especially given the pressures of the situation. Right now, he's averaging LeBron 25-8-8, and I know that it's been greatness personified, but also greatness normalized. But for him to be able to try to take down a Brooklyn Nets team that is that loaded, it's going to be crazy. You know, it's going to up his usage. I know Anthony Davis is a talented star and a great running mate, but LeBron James, they go by him. He's the one that will grab the rebound, then push it, then distribute, then take over. And so I see this as the same way we sort of saw the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Warriors in 2016. A team that was so much better, right, the Warriors, but LeBron James having to do the impossible to sort of win a championship. Not saying that he might do it now, but at this point, the load that he is carrying is so much greater. Kevin Durant can go out there and be the icing on the cake. LeBron James will have to put the whole team on his back.
I'm going to say something, ladies, that Stephen A. rarely says to his co-host, Max Kellerman. Chinee, I 100% agree with you.
Oh.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree with you, girl.
Wasn't sure where that was going.
Because, you know, it could have gone a bunch of different ways, right? No, because at the end of the day, look, well, I think Chinee said it perfectly. The load is just heavier for LeBron. This is why you build your super teams. You can debate whether it's right or wrong and how can teams do this and guys just gang together. But this is why you make the super team. Because if I have to miss 23 games with a tight hamstring, hey, the other two dudes, they can carry the load. Oh, and when I get back, I can smoothly transition right back into my spot and I can do what I do. I love when Durant was talking to our Malika Andrews, another shout out to Malika. When he was talking to Malika after the game, Durant was saying, look, I expected to come out and be comfortable. I've been with these guys. I may have been hurt, but chemistry is not an issue. And so to me, this threesome, everybody doesn't have to do everything all at once. And I think that's a totally different story for LeBron. A lot more is expected of him in LA.
100%, Kimberly. I mean, this really, honestly, is not a question in my mind. Just look at what has happened with these two teams when both respective players went out on injury, right? The Lakers were sitting top three in the West-ish. Now we're having a conversation if we're nervous about them potentially having to play in the playoff structure of the playoffs.
Uh-oh.
That's minus LeBron. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, you look at what Brooklyn has done. I'm not sure where they were in the standings when KD went out, but, you know, the conversation was whether or not they could play defense. We started to see glimpses of that. And now they're tied for first in the East, and KD just got back. So you do the math. I mean, I think there's far more pressure on LeBron. However, beyond the makeup of the two teams, I also think Father Time is not in LeBron's favor. Mm. And while he's been tremendous to this point, I think he can see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit brighter than KD can. So I'm excited to see how this one plays out. I do think that of anybody in the league, LeBron is up for the task. And I think, I know Chinee, you and Wendy were talking about it earlier, the Lakers' ability to defend, I think, really could mix it up. Because when I look at the East, it's the Nets' East to lose.
Right. Well, not only does LeBron probably want to get another ring for himself, but also if the Lakers were to win another title this year, they will set the record for most all-time titles in the NBA. So They do have a lot to lose this season, ladies. But let's talk about Kawhi Leonard playing for another team in L.A., the Clippers. He could potentially become a free agent after this season. He is expected to re-sign with the Clippers, quote, barring a dramatic turn of events, according to The Athletic. Monica, who is under more pressure to win a title with the Clippers? Is it Kawhi or is it Paul George?
Charlie, it's Paul George. Kawhi already has multiple rings, and while we expect him to return, he has shown that he is a mercenary for hire and doesn't need much. So if this situation becomes a little bit untenable for him, and by untenable, I mean PG doesn't show up in the playoffs again, or he's not feeling the vibe around the chemistry of this team, it would not shock me at all if Kawhi Leonard was not with this team next year. So I think the onus is on Paul George to show up and to shake off that Pandemic P nickname, which we know he did not like, but you got to perform. It's a results-driven industry, and he has yet to get to the pinnacle of the game in terms of winning a championship. And when we start talking about long-term legacies, like not only just for this year and the continuity of this group, but is that how you want to be remembered if you're Paul George? And I know plenty of athletes are pointing out, you know, happiness beyond the court. But when we talk strictly your basketball legacy, yeah, he was great, but he never quite got there. Whew, that stinks. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's very personal. And I'm going to say the names. Clearly, obviously, you know, we saw what happened with Russell Westbrook when people said, if you never get a championship, you know how athletes internalize that. And while you might be in a champion in life, you know, when it comes to the court, this is where the pressure really lies, especially now that you're in your prime. And y'all, we're women here, and I love that we all agree. And I know that, you know, at night when we're bored, all doing our adulting type of thing, we check Zillow, we check, you know, real estate, because that's like the new adulting fun thing to do. And when I saw that Kawhi Leonard, I think like bought a house in the Pacific Palisades, I was like, oh, I'm not worried about him no more. He probably wants to be out here. It's all good. And so the answer clearly is Paul George. Now, I really do not like that nickname. That is like especially cruel, Pandemic P. Like that is the worst. But I think we have to put respect on Paul George because, you know, if there's an athlete that's bounced back, especially what we've seen in the regular season, he started off on pace for a 50-40-90 season. He's still giving you 22 points per game. This is a top tier athlete. Like put some respect on his name. But the reality is Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he's good. Like, his legacy is certified. Winning a championship in San Antonio, doing the one and done with Toronto, and by the way, delivering a championship to Toronto, I mean, cultural icon forever. And then now, you know, going back home to Los Angeles, he's good. While Paul George, he has had a probably even more difficult route. You know, we all sort of, it broke our heart to see him get injured the way he did with USA Basketball. He's fought his way back, you know, made a name with himself in Indiana. But now, you know, he's tag teamed with, you know, a guy that we already say has his legacy cemented. They're built, literally built to defend LeBron James and Anthony Davis and any other team that sort of comes their way based on their pedigree defensively as a duo. And so when I look at this duo here in Los Angeles, the Clippers, Paul George is the one that has to prove a lot. Even though he's proven so much to this point, the only thing that can fix that is a championship. And that's why the pressure's on him.
But Janae, you said it, right? Like when we have this conversation, it will not be left out that he was on a squad that was uniquely built to go and stop the Lakers. Now, if the Clippers don't even end up seeing the Lakers in the playoffs, like I think that's all. That's a whole nother conversation. But I think because and in a way he may be a victim of his own success in this, in that he was so successful and produced those many numbers and was a guy that was in demand that could be on a team that was specifically tasked with knocking off another team. But we're not going to forget that in terms of the legacy. Like the table was set for you to go and perform, and the missing link right now is you performing big time in that moment. But I mean, I agree with you. That's certainly a tough nickname. It has stuck with me a little bit. He's having a much better season, but you know how it goes, Shanae. This is still the regular season. Don't give me Giannis from the past 2 years. We're trying to see what you're talking about come playoff time.
Can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Go ahead, girl.
So, all right. Is Kawhi not Batman? Like, is Paul George not Robin? Like, I understand Kawhi's got the rings before and everything, but Tom Brady, he had tons of rings, didn't he? And there was still a ton of I hate to bring it back to football, but that's what I do. Tom Brady, last year, all we talked about was, oh, the pressure on Brady. Oh, he left New England. Now he's in Tampa. Can he do it? Oh, the pressure on Brady and the Bucs. Is this season a failure? Like, at the end of the day, like, if you're going to be a mercenary, and I do not mind that. People that know me know I don't mind somebody going to a better
situation. We know, sis. We know.
But when you go to that new situation, you have to flourish, don't you? You don't just go and say, I'm not really feeling this. We didn't really win here. I didn't really do my thing. I'm going to go bounce. No, you show out where you are. You go somewhere else. So that's the difference to me. So that's my, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to just play a little devil's advocate for you.
Okay.
Before I get my answer, who got a home phone? That's so.
Okay, relax. Don't have to bring that up on TV.
She's in demand.
Why is the youngest person here with a landline? Who has a landline?
Listen, don't. See, y'all about to make me sweat. Y'all embarrassing me on my first trip.
Look, it's okay. I got you, sis. This is hilarious. I'll settle this. You know, even though the expectations are high on the Clippers, I know there was a lot of pressure when Paul George signed that contract extension because people were like, well, he hasn't proved himself in the playoffs. There's pressure on everybody right now, period, because the way that the Brooklyn Nets are set up offensively, the ease in which they play and substitute superstars is crazy. And to bring it full circle, my sis Kimberly, the difference between Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning a championship and the Brooklyn Nets and me just saying they're a lock is that Tom Brady, they all had the continuity through the highs and lows and the chemistry to get it done and build that right momentum, especially to hit the playoffs. That's the question mark for the Brooklyn Nets. That's the only thing that's really standing in their way. Will that lack of continuity with less than 20 games left, will that lack of continuity actually be the biggest stumbling block and for them figuring out how to play when the game slows down in the playoffs? Everybody else has to get in formation, including the Lakers, including the Clippers. The Clippers have talented pieces, but the way the NBA is set up, not even 1, 2, 3 superstars can really save a team. You have to have a complete roster of dogs, and that's exactly what the Brooklyn Nets have. Health and also continuity will be the biggest thing that determines the championship. So lay off a playoff P or whatever it is. Lay off of it, please.
Fair enough. And just really quick to Kimberly's point, Kawhi's still putting up the numbers. That would kind of be my answer, that he has performed and he has earned the cachet that if he decided to bounce, he could do that. But you know, Janae, to your point, though, too, everybody is under pressure. It'll be interesting to see if Brooklyn does fall short. Will we all then say, oh, we were right as analysts. They had chemistry issues. I personally don't buy the chemistry thing at all. I think when this big three came together, they have more accomplished individually. They already have championships between the three of them, and they've obviously got scoring titles than we've seen other big threes when they came together at points in their career. So that's where I am.
All right, well, we'll see who can pull off that dominance wherever they may be at this point in time. And speaking of dominance, ladies, on First Take, Her Take, we do a segment called Boss Ladies each and every week. We shout out the women in the world who are really making waves. Okay, so right now I want us each very quickly, we only have a couple seconds left, to do our own Boss Ladies. I will start. Here's mine. Adia Barnes, she's the Arizona women's head coach. Not only did she just lead her team to a championship, or at least the championship game, she also made history being one of the first two black head coaches to ever lead a team to the women's Final Four. Also, most importantly, she is a mother, taking time to take care of her motherly duties at halftime during that championship game, pumping breast milk for her 6-month-old daughter. So shout out to Adia. All right, Shanae, you go.
Y'all know where I'm going with this. My boss ladies are the Stanford women's basketball team. I am a proud alum. We won the national title first time in 29 years, the longest drought. Shout out to Coach Tara Vanderveer. Shout out to Haley Jones. Shout out to Anna Wilson. Yes, one of the better, I was going to say better Wilson, but not. I love the sibling duo there. But honestly, shout out to the women's team for holding it down. And I really love my Stanford Cardinal. I'm a proud alum today. So go ahead.
My boss lady goes to Natalia Durantes. The Washington football team hired her as their new chief of staff. Listen, first Latina, we're shouting out a lot of women in the NFL, but first Latina, big props to her.
All right, and lastly, guys, my boss lady goes to Ari McDonald, sticking with that Arizona team. Two 30-point performances, an elite performance that had her team in a national championship game that most teams counted them out on.
Shout out to all the boss ladies out there. We appreciate you. See you later.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.